Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him,
"Lord, are you going to wash my feet?"
Jesus answered,
"You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand."
"You will never wash my feet."
"Unless I wash you, you have no share with me."
"Lord, then not only my feet, but also my hands and my head."
"One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you."
For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them,
"Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the temple authorities, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Today, Maundy Thursday, is the first part of a 3-day service. And on this first day, we find ourselves in a sort of limbo. We're in between the long Lenten season and on the threshold of what's to come. We've engaged in self-examination and prayer and in fasting. And as was said in our confession moments ago, in this Lenten season, we've heard the Lord's call to struggle against sin and death and all that keeps us from God and from loving each other. And tonight, we sit with this struggle just a little bit longer, and as we remember Christ's final instruction to his disciples. Jesus' new and final commandment that he gives his disciples in the Gospel of John is the commandment to love one another as he has loved them. As we remember that this is not as easy as it sounds, we realize that the struggle of Lent is not over. It's not just for Lent. It goes on into these 3 days and even into Easter and every day beyond that, that we try to live as baptized individuals who love God and one another. The disciples struggled with this commandment when it was first given, especially the way Jesus was calling them to love. Whether they knew it or not, they had a set of rules of what they thought that love looked like in their context, which involved a slave. It should be a slave that washes a master's feet, or a host that washes a guest's feet. But Jesus washing their feet and them being commanded to wash each other's feet just did not fit within these rules. Peter especially was vocal about how he didn't think his teacher, Jesus, should be washing his feet. Like Peter, I too often have rules that I've made unconsciously about who to love and how to love and when to love. And I object if love or service don't fit neatly into those confines. If you find yourself in the same boat as me and as Peter, perhaps something inside of you too resists experiencing the complete and abundant love and acceptance that Christ wants us to experience. Perhaps you too find it difficult to receive kindness or an act of service from others because you are usually the one who does these things. Well, while the struggle against sin and death and all that keeps us from loving God and one another is continual, luckily, Jesus gives us an example of loving service, and he gives us a clue of how to find strength and renewal in this struggle. Priest and poet Ernesto Cardenal recorded the thoughts of a campesino farmer named Alejandro from Solentiname, Nicaragua, about this very commandment that Jesus gave his disciples. Alejandro thought that this commandment was so radical because Jesus doesn't just say, love others. Rather, Jesus says, love each other. And to Alejandro, that means not only do you give love, but you also ask for love and receive love. It implies this mutuality. The disciples would have to stretch themselves like Peter to accept having their own feet washed, to accept the complete love of Christ lavished upon them. And they'd have to adopt Jesus' concept of love, one that would be marked by mutuality, where a teacher washing his student feet and the invitation to wash each other's feet was a part of that idea of love. And also involved an invitation to be a community, a true community in his absence, a group of people that wouldn't just be coexisting together, but that would care about each other and be concerned about one another and would be vulnerable with one another and give love as well as be bold enough to receive love from one another as well. In a moment, we will depart with the stripping of the altar and in silence. And as we do this, we're reminded of Jesus who was stripped of his clothes right before his death, and reminded that the struggle against sin and death and all that keeps us from loving God and one another is one to which we are called at baptism and is ongoing as we continue from Lent into the next days of this Holy Week journey. And luckily today too, we're not abandoned and not alone on the journey. You see, moments ago after our confession, we received a word of forgiveness. We were also reminded of the grace offered to us along the journey, of the forgiveness and the renewed promise of reconciliation offered by God in the struggle. We were reminded that we've received grace to update what our unconscious rule book says about love in service, and to let ourselves be recipients of Jesus' full and complete love, and to allow for the mutual love that Christ models for us and calls us to. And we're reminded of the grace to struggle in community as we seek to meet the needs of others and as we are vulnerable enough to share our own needs. And we're reminded of the forgiveness for our errors in this struggle, because there will be many, and grace to be able to forgive others for their fumbles as well. Today, tonight, we're invited to sit in this struggle, but also we're invited to recommit ourselves to it, knowing that there is strength for the journey, companions as we continue moving through the 3 days into Easter and beyond, and infinite love waiting to surround us and this community through it all. Amen.